morning.
You look chilly.
Yeah, good morning. Cold. Good morning. Top of the morning to you. Did you watch? I mean, it's opening my browser, so it immediately springs to mind. Did you watch the finals of the Table Tennis Europe Smash with Lin Zhedong and Truls Morgan?
Of course I did.
Excellent.
No.
Let's just talk about that.
No. That wasn't on my mind.
Damn it.
I've just lost track of that. And?
How are you? And?
How was it? Good match.
It was a good game. Okay. It was a good game. Yeah.
Cool.
I was watching it whilst trying to clean up the disgusting mess of my inbox last night. I spent about 3 hours. I think I'm just still in backlog from having been away and then having been sick and the lead up to getting sick. And 170 emails undealt with. And I managed to get that down to 20 last night, so that felt pretty good.
Are you the only one that's touching that email?
Yeah.
No, it's like your normal business email?
Yep. It's a shared inbox. Everyone looks at it. It has minor engagement with it, but it's my beast of burden.
Up my inbox and it starts to scream, pile after pile of email, each one a desperate cry saying you must reply. I start to lose my mind. Now it's 9:45 and I just wanna lay in bed. I wanna get you off my head. I want you to be my beast of burden email.
That's a lot, yeah. I will just say there's a nice, it's taken years of, but Ricky is now pretty great at tackling the triage, as we call it, the incoming emails, especially when I'm gone, like when I was in Kansas. And so I come back to either he's dealt with them, or the best case is that nobody's just waiting with no answer. That's always our nice. Like, give them expectations for like when we can help them or when I can give a quote or whatever it is. And that's usually, I think that's been really successful. And helps. Yeah, that's cool. Definitely helped with that.
That's good. That's good. I want to be an inbox zero person. That's my dream. I've never achieved this.
I feel like it's overblown, but I mean, if you truly can make it work in the way that, like, if you have nothing there, that means you have nothing to, like, all your emails are sent or snoozed, or you've created tasks out of whatever they should have been.
Yeah.
Great, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, near zero. I certainly don't want to be an inbox 170. It was kind of disgusting, actually, because I was going through, I was like, oh, shit. I did, like, that's such a good quote inquiry. And then I'm like, I must have messaged them or emailed them or something. I'm checking. I'm like, no, nothing. Crickets.
Right.
That's terrible. So I've got a whole bunch. I've got about 10 snoozed for first thing Monday morning to jump back on the wagon, see if there's any opportunities still in some of those. But not a good feeling.
I often get like no response on those when I'm like, when I've messed up. I mean, people will be nice, but they're just like,
nope.
If they've already found a solution, they're just like, don't respond.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think, wow, somehow we got right into email here. I got kind of a really high quote on a repeat run of an aspect of one of our products. From a local vendor, and I was like I basically have the numbers in my head, but I also write them down, and then obviously they're in our email. So I tried to use SimTheory to query my Google Gmail account, and of course, it just gives me authentication problems, even though it's
still.
Yeah, it's never worked.
I had then, to delete mine and re-authenticate, and now it's working again.
I think I've tried, but I will try again. Because the promise of that's really great, because what I ended up doing was just going to Gmail itself, which I never use because I always use some other service to use my email, and use Gemini and had it search for all the previous runs.
Stupid Gemini. And how did that go?
I've had some terrible experiences with it, but this was actually really good. I guess I don't know if I should trust it fully, but it found the previous runs and gave me the prices we paid for that service in a way that I could easily then use in my current reply to the vendor, like, hey, your price is like doubled in a year, like what's the deal here? And I didn't have to go searching through emails, which was exactly what I was looking for.
Cool. Oh, well, that's good. That's good. I have found the Gemini functionality within, prior to this moment anyway, in Gmail, pretty terrible. And
it's
I
really incomplete, usually.
Yeah. I don't like its compose function because I can't train it how I want, and that's some of the tests on search stuff I've done are appalling. I did use.
Which you'd think they'd be really good at.
Oh, I know. You'd think they'd nail that. I did use the Gmail MCP in SimTheory a couple of days ago for probably my most legitimate sort of Gmail MCP use yet, where I was like, hey, can you analyze just invoices in the inbox from this email address and work out our order frequency for how often we're buying clear coat, what volume, and track it over the last year. And it was like, and I just spun through it, pulled out all the invoices, produced some data. I was like, cool, yeah, good trend, okay. And now compose, you know, now draft an email following up with them saying, hey, what can we do in terms of bulk pricing, bloody blah, and spat that out. And like, it was cool. Felt like the first time where I was like, it made sense to use the MCP rather than just do that.
Yeah.
Through.
Sounds great.
Which is cool. But then out of curiosity, just because you said that, I just put the same prompt into bloody Gemini in the Gmail app, which is where I sit every day. And it produced an answer very, very quickly. And it looks to be pretty accurate. So maybe they've improved it.
I think that's part of like this long arc of us trying these things out is having a short memory or a short, not even memory, just like not getting frustrated. It's like having a toddler. You can't get frustrated in the daily experiences. Cause like, if you look at the last 3 months, you're like, good grief. They've had such good, you know, growth and capability, but the day to day, it's like, no, don't hit the dog. No, don't hit the dog. No, don't hit the, you know, it's like, it's Gemini's constantly hitting its own dog. And finally, it got me a result that was useful.
I'm in that phase, but don't hit your sister. Or don't push your, don't push your baby sister over. yeah. Yeah. Forgotten what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But tools and stuff. Mine is still too enthusiastic. I was using my like email writing agent last night very heavily to reply to all of these emails, and it was doing fine. It was doing exactly what it's trained to do, just like spit out text that I can copy and paste easily. It was cruising along, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I've used the MCP and I've said that for you. It's like, you, no, it's naughty, illegal operation. Mm-hmm. This agent's not trained for MCP use at all. And there you go, just like dumping out an email to someone without even drafting it.
That's my overriding thought about these things. And I've been pretty open to most trials of all of this, but I think my line will be, I'm already feeling like it's really, let's say, I've said this I think privately to you, it feels dangerous in like a just a millennial experience of the internet that I'm giving so much capability to these tools to do these things. It's not like they're sending quotes or something. They're or creating a file in Fusion. It's like literally it can email anybody on my business email accounts kind of like accidentally.
Yeah. Yeah, with no undo function.
Yeah. Yes.
It is living dangerously.
God, I was thinking about that, how the guys, when I think MCPs were kind of about to be announced or they were going to include them, they were talking about all of their testing with it. I was like in the grocery store listening to this. And I remember one of them on, what's it called, This Day in AI, saying that I found it really funny. They've been using the MCP feature in SimTheory to bulk respond to their customer support for SimTheory. And I was like, I hate that, but also like, of course you are. Like, you know, like not even filtering, just, yeah, I just send all the emails. And they were like so genuinely, just not even making jokes about it, just like, this is how do it now. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot. I'm too old fashioned for that, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Customer service.
I'm also shocked that it works because the stuff I try with Help Scout is just like kind of a disaster too. I don't know. They obviously know what works the best.
With MCP use of Help Scout? I thought you were having a good... Yeah. Okay, just that functionality.
Yeah. you would think like, so I'll give it like a ticket number, which is a 4-digit number, which is what the UI will tell me, like, oh, this is ticket 6257, and I'll say, hey, SimTheory, and this ticket number, help me draft a response, and it'll go, I can't find that in Help Scout, and I'm like, what? And they're like, give me a conversation thread ID, and I'm like, what?
Don't
and
they even want know me where to find something. Them.
I figured out eventually they want me to take something out of the URL, which is that like 12-digit number, and give it to it. But if I give it like a bunch of context otherwise, like this customer's open ticket, it won't find it. It's just kind of crazy. Like there's only one. Use a search function.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah, it is. Early days.
I'll finish up my thoughts on AI in that I was talking to Aaron's 93-year-old grandfather in Kansas after we chatted last time, and unprompted, usually my conversations with him, he was and is a very smart man, worked for Boeing. Did electrical engineering on crazy projects like when GPS was coming out, like crazy stuff.
Cool.
And has great stories, but unprompted out of nowhere, he just said, you know, this whole AI thing, like it's nothing's new about it. This isn't new. Like it's just a different way. It's just different software. Like they're just describing it. They're relabeling it. And I was like, oh boy, that's some wisdom for like a guy that's never touched it. You know, like he doesn't understand how to use it on a day-to-day basis, I don't think. Or, you know, he barely uses a cell phone. But I just thought it was an interesting, like, I don't think I wasn't aware of that, but it was interesting to hear somebody from the outside go, this is just branding. You know, like it's all a big scheme right now to like, raise money and create these new capabilities, but really it's like it's been around, it just wasn't public necessarily. I'm not fully sure what his full intention of saying it was, but it's just trying to connect, I think, in a 60-year age gap.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm super curious about what people of that generation think about all of this, if they
I was surprised he knew about it, but he reads like, you know, news articles every day.
I've been trying to convince my mother-in-law to use it more. Like, I've introduced her to it a bit, and she's been like she's been curious, and like I've shown her a few things. She's like, oh yeah, that's cool, I could do that. But I think there's still a bit of a gap for her, but just to access, I guess it's an access thing. It's like with a lot of people, like, if you don't have an account sitting there open, you're not sort of constantly fiddling with it. There's a hesitation or an access issue. But I think she could be doing so. Like, the other night, she asked me to draft some copy for something she was working on, and I was like trying to get the kids to bed and like on my phone in about 4 minutes. It's spat out and refined something a few times and then texted it to her. And she came in like half an hour later looking sheepish. She's like, how long did that take you to draft? And then like, I'm trying to write a book. It takes me 6 hours to copy it at one paragraph, one page. It's like, well, yeah, you could. There's some good tools you could use for that. Speed up your workflow.
Yeah.
Even just dictation.
Break your book with AI.
Well, not even. Just like use it. Like, why don't you use transcription? Like, to dump out all your ideas.
It
more
is
quickly.
Wild. Like, the speed of which you can transcribe. I saw some example, I think it was on another podcast, I forget which one, they were saying like the speed of transcription speaking is like almost like exponentially faster than typing.
Yeah, I'm using
even
a new one.
Fast typist.
I'm a slow typist. I'm using a new model in Mac Whisper, which is my like offline transcription software. Parakeet V2, and it's like crazy fast and pretty bloody accurate. It's almost instant transcription when I hit stop. Very pleasing. But yeah,
I thought you're saying that the software you're trying out was called "I'm a Bad Typist" and it's just a transcription.
I'm a bad typist.
It's pretty good.
That's good.
It's free, or you're paying for it.
I bought a one-off license for Mac Whisper.
I think you've said this before. It just the built-in Mac version doesn't work very well for you.
Oh no! Awful! Awful!
It's pretty good for me, but I don't use it as much as
because you talk American. Maybe.
American.
Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've, hashed that. Yup.
In the real world, though.
I don't know what that means, so I love that.
My note.
Johnny make chop chop gooda.
Gooda, Johnny make chop chop gooda. He did.
Like
Johnny
cheddar.
Did a good thing. John was messing around with the pencil sharpener the other day, as he does, because he is the wrangler of the machines, machine wrangler.
He's the pencil sharpener.
He's done some really nice process improvement stuff lately. Anyway, he's mucking around. So when I commissioned the pencil sharpener, John, a different John, the John who built the machine, had put like a crappy Azito. Blade. Azito is like a Bunnings brand, Home Depot, like cheap circular saw blade on it. And I had all sorts of issues initially commissioning the machine with that blade because it was just stalling and flexing and just crappy. And so I put what I thought was a, high quality blade on it, ripping blade on it. And I got it working and I was like, cool, the recipe works. It's reliable. Just walk away. Like, don't touch this now. Don't touch this bit of code. And so we've run the machine like that. I don't remember how many years we've had the PS now. It must be 2 or 3. Could even be coming on 4 years. I'm going to know. Three plus. It's done 63,000 parts. Anyway, John was mucking around. He's getting frustrated with the saw, the finish of the saw, like the top of the cap. If you can see that, see the top of the little Kidder Parts cap there. It's getting this little wobble on it consistently, which we had to hand sand out. And then, anyway, John replaced the saw blade with something more appropriate that he found. Slightly bigger diameter, it's stiffer, and it's got way more teeth. It's like a fine cutting cross cut saw rather than a rip saw. And just
like
fiddled with the code and the feed rate. And it runs this weird inverse G-code function where it's like, it's a bit of G-code that I'd written years ago and I'd totally forgotten that I'd even worked out how to do it, where you like, you specify an amount of time that that move's allowed to happen in rather than a feed rate.
Mm.
It's like G9,
what is that code like?
G93 or something. It just looks like normal G-code, but it's like, can't remember. Like I'll pull it up.
Second amount.
But yeah, you basically specify a time that that movement's allowed to happen in. And it is G93, where the F value doesn't mean feed rate, it means total time allowed.
Where the F word in G code command specifies the time in minutes the motions should take to complete rather than the distance per time feed rate. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't know about that.
Anyway, so we reverse engineered that bit of code and tried to remember how the hell it worked, because we're kind of hacking it because we're using the fifth axis servo as the saw drive that drives the RPM of the saw. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, John got the cycle time of the cutoff function in each, you know, every time it cuts off a bit of dowel. It was taking 17 seconds. He got it down to 4 seconds with the new blade.
Ooh.
And I calculated how much machine time we'd lost over the last 63,000 cycles. It was like 215 hours of machine time. It's like far out. Not that that really matters, but it's, you know, every part that that machine makes, it does has a cutoff cycle in it. And so, yeah, win-win. Yep.
Right.
Pretty cool, pretty satisfying. It actually looks pretty like a saw now. I was joking to Laura the other night. I was like, yeah, that was kind of the most embarrassing bit of the pencil sharpener when I show new people on a shop tour, is like watching that cutoff cycle. I feel ashamed every time it ran. And Laura's like, you idiot. Like, someone's never seen this machine before. And they're like, they're just amazed by it. And you're worried about their like slow cutoff cycle.
Well, yeah. Lucky I wasn't there. I would have been like, ah, that cutoff cycle.
I know, right?
That's pretty great. I think, why is my brain built like this now? But, you know, it doesn't ever turn into viral content for me. But I feel like that is some pretty good meat for the social media hyenas. Like how much time you've saved and on that cutoff cycle change.
I see. Every time you show
that machine, people love it.
They do. They do. Yeah. Yeah. LPS. Maybe I'll make a video one day.
Meh.
Meh.
Short videos. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh. So you can get another 400 views like I do.
Yeah. Hey, what's happening with your milling thoughts? So for sale? Officially for sale?
Tentatively. It's actually really quite difficult to find. I did a lot of searching myself. I used GPT deep research. I used sim theory to refine, trying to find like comparable prices, but it's just the YCM560A, YCM NXV560A is what we have, is not common, at least in the States, I want to say, because there's just like no comps really for it. Like if there are, it's like, you know, I've heard they're comparable to like a Speedio in terms of the way they're intended to be used. Just like full out 24 hours a day and run till they stop working in a bad way, and then they just replace them kind of thing. And so you don't see many of them like mine, where it's like a year's use basically of hours.
Yeah.
I think it still has under 3,000 hours of like on time and under 1,000 hours of cutting time. So it's like new basically.
It's very clean.
Actual
very, very
amount
clean.
Of time it's been around. So
Googled that model name and found your listing.
Did it come up? Oh my god, it's been up a day.
That
yeah, there it is.
That kind of shows probably how rare that model number is if your listing shows up in the top few hits.
Right. So there's a lot of them that are the 1000 series that seems to be more common. Just a bigger table.
Ooh, what's the Renishaw Eye of Evil in the corner?
It's the receiving, I think it's infrared if I remember right, but it all the probes, the table and the spindle shine back to it, and that's how it gets to the machine itself. Mounted on the wall.
The probe wireless.
Yeah, they're both wireless. They just run on little lithium ion batteries.
Sick. Made in Ireland.
Yeah.
Renishaw.
Anyway, so I did my best to find a fair price, but there's a link in the show notes to share. I had a few people reach out after the show. Curious.
Yeah, curious. Nice.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, you're going through this too, I suppose. But you're not trying to replace a machine necessarily. But now, as soon as I shared it, talking about it on the show, I was immediately like, ooh, do I want to sell it right now? I was like, I don't have another machine. What am I going to do with? And also the other machines are 5 times more expensive than what I'm selling this machine for. Yeah, I don't. That's just complicated thoughts, and there's no necessarily strong need to sell it right now, so we'll see how it goes.
Do you want to talk about that? What you might replace it with? And
yeah, no.
Motivation is?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not a secret by any means. I've talked here about why we're selling it more often, I think, than what I was looking for necessarily, but it's a 2015 machine with a Fanuc control that's got a small internal memory. And the way that we work pretty commonly, if we were going to put the money into put on a chip conveyor and to basically make that reliable, where I'm looking for something that I can at least start to hopefully have minimal automation for. Yeah, and then eventually move into, I don't know that we'll ever get to a full automation state with whatever the next machine is, but I'm kind of on the fence right now between something like a VF3, which is a Haas. The technical version would be probably the VF3 SS, the super speed, because you just get all these nice upgrades for minimal money. And then the big aspect to that is whether or not we would put on it's a TRT-160, which is a fifth axis trunnion, I think is what you call it.
Yeah.
A thing that goes on the table and adds two more axes, I guess. Versus, as I was talking to a friend the other day about this, just a five-axis machine, like a UMC 500, or, I'm referencing Haases because they're super easy to shop for. Financing is just it's crazy good, crazy interest rates. Yeah. But I'm open to something else. I think the other huge factor too is how good the control is for, people that don't have a ton of experience running different types of mills.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And they're common. Makes sense. Super common. So it'd be easy to find content about it or ask other people how to do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet.
I guess very interested to see if people have thoughts on what, I don't know if anybody listening to this has input on what, I suppose you kind of need to know more about what we make commonly, but our pedestal products and then some job shop work, almost all of it's aluminum, but we are looking into a little bit of tool steel, soft tool steel, potentially for some new products. So
yeah, cool. I think it kind of strikes me looking at your listing page on your website for your mill and some of the machine sale stuff I've been doing lately. It just strikes me that where you and I are good people to buy machines from, as in your page is so generous with information. of like all, like for a secondhand machine, like there's so much rich information there of like what you're getting, like what the specs are, what you need, like how rigging's going to work. It's like so good. And I've kind of, you know, I've done the same thing of like with like when we sold the wide belt, just like completely over delivered on specification, like doing walkthrough videos before I turn the machine off of like, hey, these are some things about the machine that are really going to help you get started when you plug it in at your end and some basic settings, blah, 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 blah. Like all stuff that's just like totally unnecessary, but just feels like the right thing to do, like when you're selling. A secondhand piece of industrial equipment like that. It's like,
You know, I started out and I was like, well, how do you do this? I'm going to take some images, which I'm going to take some more. We're just cleaning up different parts of it. So it didn't look like we just finished using it and took photos, which I suppose is fine too. But and then most of it, I just copied what I had in Airtable under our assets. Because it was stuff that I wanted to know and learn about it over time. So I built up basically one field in Airtable with all the notes and specifications. And I was like, all right, Sim Theory, use basic HTML and make me a page. And more or less did that.
Yeah. Sick.
But yeah, I think it's helpful. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully we have somebody interested. Because I was having a little bit of like, is this going to be a 2-year process to sell this? You know, like sometimes I've heard Saunders talk about different machines he's tried to sell and they've just sat for a long time. So don't know.
How long's, what's the lead time on getting a new?
Like, if it's Haas, they're like 3 to 4 weeks right now. What? So it's like too fast almost. If I was
bloody hell.
Like, I, similar to most things, it's like I kind of need the money from this to. Probably, I would like to put it towards the cost.
Yeah, totally. Cool.
I don't know. Again, kind of just starting the process to see if people are interested and how it'll all work. But
yeah,
it's fun to dream.
Nice. Coming in. Well, my secondhand machines are doing a bit more work this week. We had another good day. Rebuilt Abby's sanding fixture for dowel sanding around stock. And Abby worked most of the day on, I think it was Tuesday. Which was pretty cool.
Dang.
Still just manually fed every 9 minutes. One of us was walking over and swapping the stick. But, yeah, pretty nice. Got a, you know, full batch of dowel sanded, 65 meters or something of dowel sanded. And it's slow, but, did the job. Finishes great. And I worked out the power. I walked outside to the compressor and, like, timed it. I was like, cool, how much power is this cheap and nasty AliExpress orbital sander actually consuming? How much air is it sucking? I timed the compressor running on off. I was like, cool, okay. Yeah, we should replace this with a proper electric, you know, brushless orbital sander at some point because it's burning through like 2.5.
Those do really pump,
Yeah, I think it's about 2.5 kilowatt hours of consumption, which is high for a sander. We could probably halve that with an electric orbital. But I worked out the electricity cost for running that thing, you know, if it was running flat out sanding all day, it was like $6 or something. So it's good value. Dang. But I am building a little junction box at the moment with some relays and solenoids in it, which I'll wire into the controller, and then that will allow me to switch the sander on and off between cycles. And even just as it's rapiding back to the start of the part, being able to stop it bleeding air for that bit of the cycle. And,
nice.
It's been kind of fun doing a little electrical project with industrial relays and din rail. I feel very grown up using din rail. It's fun.
Din. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That mounting.
Didn't know really what that was.
DIN. Yeah. Din rail.
Crazy.
And then you get nice little relay mounts that clip onto the din rail. And yeah. Fun.
Why do you think people... I know, like, air sanders are really popular, or air tools in general, but they suck so much air. Like like you're saying, they're fairly costly compared to just using electrical. Like, what is the big perk? I think they're lighter weight, because then there's no motor inside.
Yeah, they're lighter. Yes, definitely.
But like,
don't know.
A little bit cheaper.
It can be cheaper, although the good ones are pretty pricey as well. But I guess a good brushless orbital is like $1,000 Australian if you're buying Merca or Festool or something. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I find them, having used hand orbitals and a lot of Merca and Festool stuff, like, I find pneumatic orbitals just underpowered compared to what, like, a good modern...
You would think, yeah, right.
Mercaderos is like, you just get so much more torque out of that lovely brushless Merca. I don't know. All right, you know, I reckon part of it just comes from, you know, body, like car repair finishing stuff is a massive industry fueled by insurance money. And I think there's probably just a lot of, maybe this is unfair, but there's probably just a lot of operators who are like, yeah, I, you know, I love the feel of the paddle on a pneumatics handle. Yeah. It's like, that's,
I think it's
matches
lighter,
my workflow and light and
better
like
touch.
Really lovely throttle response. And, you know, Merca have tried to do that with their paddle throttle on the Deros, but it's not as sensitive as a pneumatic paddle. Definitely. Like, I typically just run it flat out, like full paddle. I'm not really feathering the throttle or anything. Like,
I use the I don't know if it's, I thought it was just on off, but I think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't use it like that. I don't sand much of anything anymore.
I don't sand.
I sit in my office chair in the air conditioner.
Yeah, me too. I sit on my heater. Dear.
Sit on my heating pad. Do you have a problem?
Yep.
Did you see the new bamboo printer that just surprised the crap out of me? It's the, so the H2D was the whatever, two heads, two nozzles in one. And the H2S is, as far as I can tell, the same thing, except for it has one nozzle, just bigger. Supposedly a little bit faster.
Oh, and you get the laser in it as well if you want. Interesting.
Yeah, which I just still find to be the most ridiculous combination of things. I would never use a laser in that machine. We have one product, specifically the Cat 50 like tool tag tower or something of that nature. We've been kind of working on one it's a different style, but we have somehow a bunch of customers that are interested in a tool tag holding system for Cat 50. And as I mentioned before, they are absolutely enormous, just huge tags. And the tower then itself would be, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just gazing in awe at the bamboo website. I'm still listening.
You totally like froze in the same position for like 10 seconds. And I was like, uh-oh. I was going to have to split the common size that people want of tower tags. Like, it just doesn't fit on the X1. Like, it's huge comparatively. It's kind of been on pause of just like, I don't know. I didn't really want to buy an H2D because I just didn't want to spend the money on it. And I didn't feel like we have enough interest. But this is the crazy thing in US dollars is they dropped the X1C price. More like $1,000 for the combo, I think, right now. And then the new H2S combo is $1,500. So it's like the price of what the X1s were for a bigger printer.
Sheesh.
The technology in these things is just, I've watched a few reviews. It's the same thing as H2D, and I didn't really pay a lot of attention, but like they have like active heating inside, and then there's like a fresh air intake with filtration and a venting system that's like got motors on it. So it like can keep the temperature without opening the door just right. The precision seems to be just like absolutely wild. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Debating selling our value. First bamboo.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah, the good tools. cool tools. I'm still super impressed with the whole ecosystem they've built. Yeah.
You know, when I'm considering buying one, and I keep doing this thing where I'm like, God, I don't want to spend the money. You know, we're not like saturating what we have all the time with the printers we have. And so I'm like, well, you know, keep running with the machine you got kind of thing. But then I like think about how much money they've been worth and what they've produced and how little cost that is compared to their output. I'm like, oh, well, you know, just buy it today. Like, what are you waiting for? You could have a new product. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. Just kind of waiting to feel it out more, I think.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's good to wait on these things if you can. I am not very good at doing that, but
I almost bought one yesterday, and then I was like, wait.
How many times have you put it in your cart? That's what I tend to do. I'm like, twice. That's the time. No.
Did the price did it change? Did it change somehow? Can I still get it? And then they send you that email like, it's still here. You didn't buy it. The only thing I have left is, I think somebody asked for this. I forget at this point, but we make tool tags for all the types of machines, basically. So we now have, by the time this gets out, we'll have Tormach TTS tool tags, which I think is fairly redundant because I think that means Tormach quick change tooling system. Tormach tooling system. They have their own proprietary tool holder, which is very much like an R8, if you've ever seen those.
Don't know R8. No.
But they're tiny. They are closer to an ISO 20 than they are ISO 30, I think. Like, really small.
Is it just set screw tooling?
No, they got a whole range. They've got
a
lot of options. It's a good ecosystem, and I can't speak to why they did their own thing. I don't know why they didn't do an ISO 20, but if they wanted smaller, we'll most likely have a tower for that as well. Just haven't gotten that far.
Tormach sell robots. Easier part.
They do.
Sorry to cut across tags, but I just spotted that on their website. No way.
Yeah.
How do you? Given that every man and his dog has a 3D printer these days, how do you protect your tool tag system? Anyone can look at it and be like, oh wow, that's a good idea.
And there's a few people that have knocked off different aspects, but we've have a patent pending on the tool tags.
Yeah, cool.
And I don't know. It was the first to make both things in the way that they're made. So,
It's just about being convenient right?
Part of it's just the convenience factor of like, it's available, they work well. I think there's so much built up in my opinion. I know that the mindset of the companies buying them is there's already so much built in and around the setup process of creating a organization system for tool holders that and tooling, that it's like, I don't want to think about also making these other things for them, you know, the tags and how you organize them. So
it's because do you provide a template for the tag that fits or information on how to create the right tag?
Yeah, I've got a video. We've got a downloadable couple options. We provide, I don't sell them, we've considered it, but I have links to where you can buy the labels that we use and the label makers, which is just a Dymo label maker, but you could use whatever that kind of works. But it's, you know, we're trying to create like a way that it's just like what you need to provide is your tool holders, your tooling, the information that goes on your tags and everything else you can go with that. And I got to say, they've been pretty popular. I started selling the tags last year and I didn't think anybody would want them, which is just funny how these things work. And we've sold a lot. Like, in terms of individual pieces, I think we're over 10,000 pretty easily. So still not quite to like throwing down a bunch of money on injection molding, but I would like to get them into distribution more widely. And I think that injection molding would be the reason for that. So the way to get there.
Cool. Yeah. I just had someone arrive, so I'm going to have to abort. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. 7:10 in the morning. Who is here?
Pizza.
They're about to bust into the office. Pizza! Cool.
Did you order a pizza, sir?
Oh, no. Come in. Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye! Ding!
I want you to be my beast of burden email. Take this load off of me, email. You're gonna be the death of me. Why you gotta be so mean?
You're clogging up my bandwidth. You're just a bunch of spam. I'm so sick of you. You're a horrible plan. Now it's 2 a.m. I've been writing replies. I swear I'm gonna die. Just one more email and I lose my mind.
Okay, buddy. You got a meal, what's your due? Bugger.